The Patriot Act, turning citizens into suspects since 2001. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
At my direction, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is issuing guidance for communities of faith. I want to thank Dr. Redfield and the CDC for their work on this matter and all the other work they've been doing over the past what now seems like a long period of time. Today, I'm identifying houses of worship, churches, synagogue, and mosques as essential places that provide essential services. Some governors have deemed liquor stores and abortion clinics as essential, but have left out churches and other houses of worship. It's not right. So I'm correcting this injustice and calling houses of worship essential. I call upon governors to allow our churches and places of worship to open right now. If there's any question, they're going to have to call me, but they're not going to be successful in that call. These are places that hold our society together and keep our people united. The people are demanding to go to church and synagogue, go to their mosque. Many millions of Americans embrace worship as an essential part of life. The ministers, pastors, rabbis, imams, and other faith leaders will make sure that their congregations are safe as they gather and pray. I know them well. They love their congregations. They love their people. They don't want anything bad to happen to them or to anybody else. The governors need to do the right thing and allow these very important essential places of faith to open right now for this weekend. If they don't do it, I will override the governors. In America, we need more prayer, not less. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Wow. Big statement. Big statement today. I really like everything that he said in that clip as far as the observance of prayer and the fact that they were in a rush to keep liquor stores and abortion clinics open. But of course, you know, prayer is not essential. Wow. So interesting clip. And I'll tell you a little bit about, I actually talked to Chris Ann Hall about this. So I'll tell you her thoughts on this too. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. Glad that you're joining me. KateDalyRadio.com. I've got Alan Stevo up today. In fact, Alan is fantastic writer, actually. He's an idea guy, and he has written books on Bitcoin. He also is a contributor for Daily Caller and The Hill. You'll love him. He's great. And he's got a great article on how to sue your governor and how to not wear the face mask if somebody tells you you have to. So he's going to be a breath of fresh air today. He'll be so much fun. So he'll be in the next hour. And then rounding out this week of crazy, insane, fun, incredibly learning shows, I've got Allison Armstrong from Understand Men, who's going to come on, and she's going to be doing a giveaway too. And so you'll want to take part in that. It's pretty awesome. And she's going to be talking about how to get along with your honey. So she's always fantastic when she comes on, and she comes on once a month. And by the way, Greg Mannarino, who I had on the show on Tuesday following Dr. Judy Mikovits, he's actually going to be coming on once a month as well. And he'll be our economy guy. So, I'm actually really happy about that. That's going to be really neat. He's the Robin Hood of Wall Street and kind of calls it out and says it like it is. And I like it. I like people that do that. So let me take you back to whether or not. So the president had some tough words for governors, didn't he? So where does all this lie? What happens? And so here is what Chris Ann Hall had to say. She said he has no constitutional authority to override. However, they will claim the authority under the Fourth Amendment because of religious liberty. So basically, it's this: the invention of the incorporation doctrine via the due process clause of the 14th Amendment. OK, the invention of the incorporation doctrine via due process clause of the 14th Amendment allows the federal government to claim the president, executive, has the authority to ensure that the states are not violating the rights of the people. That's that particular check and balance. And then it's what then, and then she went on, you know, what the feds should do, and what they actually have the authority to do is withhold funding, stimulus money, to the states who are violating the rights of the people. That's really what they should be doing. He should be saying, no money, you know, no money, right? But they won't do that because every state is violating the rights of the people right now. Every single state. So she said one of the problems with what Trump just did was that he's maybe cherry picking the rights that he wants to defend because the states are violating the 4th, 5th, 7th, and 8th Amendments, as well as the 1st when they shut down businesses. So it's a little complicated based on what we've done with the Constitution since the Constitution, but it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. So do they have to open the churches because Trump tells them to? No. Do they have to open the churches because their state constitutions demand it? Yes. Yes, they do. Their state constitutions. But will the people enforce it? And I think really that is what's going to remain to be seen. Will the people demand it? And the power really does lie in us. Can't say that enough, huh? The power really does. It lies in us. And we have to exert that power and let our legislators and governors and all of the tyrants that like to run things and tell you exactly what you can do and what you can't do and that you get to lose your business for fear of safety from a cold virus. Well, you know what? They really don't have the power to do that. So bottom line. Thanks, Chris Ann. I wanted to give you what she said about this because there's a lot of back and forth on this. And when you're perusing all of the mainstream media, they're probably not going to say it like she just did. So there you go. I also want to draw your attention to this clip. Hat tip to Susan on this one. Susan was listening in to Debbie Birx in the conference, and I want to see if you can grab these. There's two things that she said that were odd. Okay, I'm going to play this really, really short clip for you. It's 21 seconds. Okay, here we go.
We can see as a country, we have decreasing amount of illness, both at the emergency room and reported through the influenza-like illness. It is also why we took the opportunity to really encourage governors, and it was to encourage governors to test 100% of the nursing home residents and staff, because many of our outbreaks that we have seen over the last 2 months have started in nursing homes.
Okay. So number one, the entire conference, she kept saying this over and over again, which has not been done.
The emergency room and reported through the influenza-like illness.
The influenza-like illness. And she ran into her next sentence. I actually cut it off right there because I really wanted you to hear that. It's like they're walking it back. Here you go.
Reported through the influenza-like illness.
The influenza-like illness. Ah, are they sensing some liability issues as we just got through this last couple of months? And now people might be starting to realize that Redfield from the CDC really did put it out there, because he did. He actually admitted that the flu season by a Christmas miracle just ended in February and we got to say everything was COVID. Okay. And so we just can't tell the difference. Oh, really? I thought your tests were so good. Remember how we always said the tests aren't really, they're very, very generic? Okay. So, and then this one. Listen up. Whoops. If I can play it right.
Because many of our outbreaks that we have seen over the last 2 months have started in nursing homes.
Started in nursing homes? Started in nursing homes. Interesting comment, right? Because we all know this started in a nursing home in Washington State. That's what kicked all this off. And I thought that was just a really interesting admission. You know, it started in nursing homes. Anyway, I wanted you to hear that for yourself, because I'll tell you what, there's so much deceiving and lying going on. And I've recognized that she pops things out of her mouth that a lot of them don't. And so always pay attention to what she's saying, because you'll find some truth that pops out probably unwillingly. She probably thinks about it later and thinks, oh, I probably shouldn't have said that. But yeah, where the outbreaks originated in nursing homes. Now you tell me, why would that be? Because let me tell you, think about a nursing home. Do these people get out a lot? Are they around the same people all the time? Pretty much. I mean, they might have some visitors, maybe. A lot of them don't get visitors. And then you've got the same staff, right? Same staff. And then all of a sudden, a spontaneous outbreak comes. Why is that? See? Something's very fishy, and something's very wrong with that. And I just wanted to draw your attention to that. It's just insane, isn't it? So, top of the news, Biden being Biden again. Here you go. He's like a news clip a day.
Listen, you got to come see us when you come to New York, VP Biden.
I will.
It's a long way until November. We got more questions.
You got more questions. But I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
It don't have nothing to do with Trump. It has to do with the fact I want something for my community. I would love to see
you. Take a look at my record, man.
Oh, man. Okay, two things wrong with that clip. Number one, Biden being Biden. But he can't help but be Biden. The guy's a crock. I mean, I can't even believe that if you were even in that party, you can't recognize that. Oh, gosh, the guy's a clip a day. The other thing was this, and just drawing your attention to this for a second.
You got more questions. But I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or
it's right
Trump,
here.
And you ain't black.
Here you go.
It don't have nothing to do with Trump. It has to do with the fact I want something for my community.
I want something for my community. This is the problem with America right there in a nutshell. This is why we have bought and sold legislators. We have people that say, what am I going to get? What am I going to get? What's my little piece of the pie? Not just we're electing you to protect all of our liberty. Oh, no, no. It's what am I going to get from you? And when people go in with that idea, we will always elect the wrong people, because there'll always be somebody running for office that caters to that. There'll always be somebody there that says, I will make sure you get a piece if you vote for me. Now you just have a bought and sold vote, because they're expecting a return, a favor. This is the whole problem with America. There are so many people out there guilty of that. Wow. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. I have so many things to share with you. Be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
I want to be a castaway and leave the world behind. Take a tropic holiday, say goodbye to keeping time. Wasting away down by the coast, Pacifico and chasing line. Easy living down in paradise. Pour me another one, make it a strong one. We're going to have some fun tonight.
Hi there. We embark on a weekend here, on a holiday weekend, and I'll be playing the Judy Mikovits and Greg Mannarino show as a rerun on Monday. But I think everybody would like to just go to an island for a week, I'm pretty sure. I feel that way. It's been a lot. It's been a lot of heavy, heavy, heavy news. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Kate.
Hi there.
I think what we're dealing with here is a cancer, and it's a cancer that has become so endemic that we're at stage 4, and it's absolutely invaded and is pervasive in the entire body politic.
Yeah.
And how in the world do you ferret all out all those cancerous cells when it has gone as far as it has gone? And in the last 3 months, we've seen how much farther it can go.
Right. Yeah. And boy,
I don't have an answer.
Yeah. I wish I did too. I mean, I think we can brainstorm. I think we can start really thinking of things. And it's like my next guest is going to be talking about how to sue your governor. I mean, there are steps we can take. We just have to be willing to do them.
Well, that's just it. You have to be willing to stand up and say, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. I need to play that clip today. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thanks. let me bring up two things. Number one, I really want to assert this because this is important. I talked yesterday about the new CDC guidelines for schools opening up, and they're very extreme. They almost seem fake. They're not, but they almost seem that way. Why is that? So, I had a teacher ask me, are you just stoking fear with this? Because, I don't think this will happen and this just stokes fear and it makes all the parents anxious. Okay, here's two points I want to make. Number one, this is really important to understand how they operate, because if we don't understand how they operate in things like this, when they put out outlandish, extreme, over the top, and they move the goalpost and they say, this is what we're looking at in the fall. And that's exactly what those CDC guidelines were. Desks, six feet apart and kids never interacting and coming to school all at different times and totally and isolated and no play and no sports and everything else. Okay. Very extreme, right? So then what happens is that the schools then step in. If it's too extreme, parents are going to get mad. They're going to get outraged. And then what happens is the schools then go, oh, okay. So they get a little pushback from the parents, maybe a lot. And this is what they do. This is their remedy. Well, we'll meet them partway, halfway. We'll do half of what they want. And that way we appease the CDC, even though we don't have to do a dang thing they say. All right. And we appease the parents. And then the parents go, oh, okay, well, they're at least compromising. Okay, good. We've won part of the battle. That's good. And then what have we done? We have now just taken the goalpost and furthered it along, right? They've moved the goalpost so that our new normal, quote unquote, looks different. But then what happens? We've all consented willingly. And if there's anything I've learned about how these people operate, it's usually in pieces. They don't do it all at once. And in fact, when we're talking to our next guest, Alan Stivo, he's going to talk about how we just went on steroids. We went so much farther than the USSR went in taking away rights so quickly from the people, right? In taking away our liberty. And so I'm telling you, they're going to do this in pieces. And it's going to look like a huge, huge compromise. That's what it's going to look like. And it's going to be really, really pathetic and sad. The other point I wanted to make on this was that not only are we looking at this extreme, kind of backing off, walking it back a little bit, this kind of thing, but we're setting ourselves up. I mean, I don't know how we are I'm truly afraid for us with these kinds of guidelines and how we react to these things too, because I think that there's a lot of people out there that are just, they don't understand how they operate, but also, you know what, it's very much as like the Overton window. There's a lot of different ways that you could explain this, but I think we need to take a look at that, definitely. And you know what? I don't have to put out any fear. All I have to do is recognize the fact that our schools have never even asked a single question, and we're in total compliance with the CDC when we didn't even have one single case of any child or teen across the country with any illness. And they rushed to close the schools. Now, if we had liberty-minded people in those positions, in those state boards, that wouldn't have happened. They would have said, what do you mean you're going to close? There's no reason. There's no reason. Why this response? They would have questioned it. See, no one questioned it. The governors, the mayors, most of the mayors, and of course, the school boards, the school districts, nobody questioned. So that's why I don't have a lot of faith. And that's why in these people, and that's why I think they would compromise. to take away your liberty, and they'll say that it's a compromise and that you should be just ever so grateful that they didn't go full CDC. We'll call it full CDC because they did put the extreme out there. The other thing is this. I'm probably going to tackle this. Maybe I'll tackle this right after the break, because they've now turned the tracers into detectives, nurses, and confidants. It's really, really, really frightening. In fact, they did a huge article, and this one is in St. George News about this, Associated Press, and how they try to manipulate and deceive and that these tracers are trying to say nice things to get them to talk, to get people to talk and open up to them about where they've been and who they've been in contact with. And she, you know, here's a phrase. She gently peppers the person with questions, including where he and his wife stopped to buy flowers on a visit to the cemetery. She tries to keep the mood light because she needs to find out where he's been and who he's been around for the past 7 days. I mean, on and on and on. It's framing these tracers and giving us an understanding that they're there to play detective. They are there to basically do the role of say, an FBI agent, where an FBI agent can lie to you to get you to say something. In this case, they can too, as well, by the way. And also, some estimate that over 300,000 contact tracers are going to be needed in the U.S. to adequately curtail the spread. What? You guys, oh my gosh, for what? The Debbie Birx influenza-like illness? So this is scary. So I don't even have to stoke fear. They're stoking it. Look at how they're doing this. Here's the goal, to create a roadmap of everywhere infected people have been and who they've been around. You know what? With so few people, honestly, even getting ill, because most people that are tested are fine, why don't you just wait for somebody to actually get ill? And all you people that think that testing is wonderful, I got to go get tested. Why? If you're not sick, why are you going to get tested? Who cares? Who cares? It's in your system. Okay, big deal. It's probably in a lot of our systems. We all have viruses in our bodies. And so they also went on, the article said, the practice of so-called contact tracing requires a hybrid job of interrogator, therapist, and nurse as they try to coax nervous people to be honest. Their version of honesty, I guess. They will keep trying and trying and trying until that person. And, you know, the reason I wanted to bring this up, too, was my husband and I were talking about this and last night, and he said, who would do that job? Who would do that job unless they were absolutely convinced that everyone around them were in a plague and they're dying? If you have to be a detective and you have to try to go out to get people, to coax them into coming forward, that's not a plague. That's not a plague by any stretch of the imagination. And here was this assertion: no one is legally required to answer the questions. And so these people said, well, usually kindness works better than strong words, and she needs people to cooperate, but no one is legally required to answer. Please remember that when a little contact tracer, little Gestapo person calls you, you don't have to answer anything. And don't, please, please don't answer. I think, you know, these people also, a lot of them are nurses. They're utilizing nurses. And it's a problem because the people out there think, well, that person's a nurse. No, that person is ready to tattletale on you. That person wants to, is looking at you sort of like a thing, and this is their job, and they're going to do everything they can manipulatively as well to try to get you to answer all these questions. If somebody's sick, they'll come forward. This is easy, guys. And anyway, they went through a whole case scenario, and, you know, she had to try for a long time to try to get this person to even open up. Oh my gosh. And these are oftentimes, these people don't even have any symptoms. So why do you need a detective asking you all these questions? Why do you need this person acting like a detective, I should say? Why? You don't have any symptoms. No one around you has any symptoms. And if they do, they'll go in. You don't need contact tracing. we don't have that big enough a problem in the United States, especially when everybody finds out that these are flu numbers. I hope everybody goes berserk. I have a feeling they're not going to. I have a feeling that they're actually going to buy whatever explanation, stupid explanation they offer at that point next year when the numbers really haven't changed. They've already admitted that they're chalking everything up to COVID. So 300,000 contact tracers. And here's what they said. They find themselves, the contact tracers often find themselves in a tangled web of half-truths and facts that don't match up. Language and cultural barriers arise that require interpreters and taxing conversations that leave the investigators wondering if the person understands what they're trying to do. Yeah, invade every part of their life and privacy. That's what they're trying to do. Don't let them do this. Don't let them do this. You do not have to answer those questions. I would never talk to one of these COVID tracers, ever. In fact, if you put the app Healthy, I think it's Healthy Utah or something, on your phone, please get it off your phone and listen to those people that say, I don't want me as a contact on your phone. Because when you downloaded that app, you gave permission for all the contacts then, your contacts, for that vital information to go to that app. Please remove the app. Please. I'm asking. Especially if you have my phone number on there. Good gravy. I don't want these people. I will never talk to these people. So she also said each call is an exercise in good cop, bad cop. And they have to, they need people to cooperate. Oh my gosh, you guys, we're so in trouble. We're so in trouble. If this is what's going to start happening, I can't believe people are gullible enough to actually talk to these people. And I can't believe American citizens think that this is okay to do as a job. Shame on you. Shame on you for doing this. We'll be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Oh, man. I'm thinking I need a vacation. You watch it. Every time my music gets more tropical. You're going to know. Oh, man. I do. I need another vacation. Sad but true. All right. I'll take a phone call, and then I have three short clips I want to play. Go ahead, caller.
Here's one for you to mull over.
Okay.
The tracker workforce is already in place. They just need a little more training and a few more questions.
Ooh.
They're called census takers, and you know, we must answer the questions of the census takers.
Oh, yeah. All of their very invasive questions that they don't have any right to ask. Yeah.
Knock, knock, knock.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Answer these questions, please.
Jeez. Hey, thanks. Appreciate that. Yeah, true. Very, very true. Let me play this for you. I thought this was funny. This was, let's see. Okay, so it's a little bit longer of a clip, but I have to play this for you because this is so going on right now in our society. So take a listen. You'll have a good laugh, but take a listen. This is Jeff Zimmerman talking about rage. Here you go.
All right, look, I'm getting on the subway. I got two bags of groceries. It's raining. The bottom of these paper bags are wet. I need these groceries very badly. I'm a little nervous. I'm nervous because I need these groceries bad, but also they're from Whole Foods, so like, how am I gonna pay my rent? And I'm going through what I like to refer to as a surprise divorce, and I just need some grace and patience from the world right now. I am broken glass on the inside. And when I need grace and patience from the world, what I do when I know I'm not gonna get it is I like to straddle a garbage can and take a pint of Ben & Jerry's and work the spoon down through the chocolate core of the Ben & Jerry's, and you could pull the whole thing out in a move that I call the sad King Arthur. And then you just eat it all. And you don't really get any grace or patience or understanding, but you can go to sleep. And I need that, too. So the bags are straining, and I'm getting on the train, and it's crowded. And right as I'm reaching for the pole, this dude grabs my shoulder like I'm a door that has gotten stuck and just goes, and shoves me out of the way, and the bags rip, and all my groceries, including my surrogate feelings, are just pinballing among everybody's dirty feet down the subway car. And I was just like, oh, Lord, not now, you know? So I'm leaning over to pick up my groceries. I've got a messenger bag on, and it's coming up behind me like this. And I think it was touching the lady behind me a little bit because I just heard... and I looked back and somebody, I don't know, whatever. So I go to get my groceries again and again. And I know it was her because somebody goes, I said... And I turned and I looked and there's a woman standing there holding the pole and she's looking at me and she's rolling her eyes. And I know what she's seeing, because I know what I look like, all right? I'm 6'2". It doesn't matter if I eat that Ben & Jerry's or not. I'm a fight heavyweight. I tried on a cardigan one time, and it looked real stupid. So now I'm going to go with heavy metal T-shirts. So I kind of look like the social media guy for the Hell's Angels. And she's just seeing this big oaf that doesn't care about anything but himself. And I just know I'm not going to get that patient, so I just went there in my head and decided I wasn't going to get it and said, oh, is my bag touching your arm like a tiny bit and like moderately inconveniencing you on the train right now? Is that why we're making these noises? And she answers my question by looking the subway ad in the eye, questioning my parenting and saying, some people weren't raised to respect anybody around them. They don't understand space or who's in it or who they're shoving or anything at all. And then right then, this little dude that saw the whole thing jumps up and goes, you need to shut the hell up, lady. You don't understand the challenges he's facing in his life right now. All right, because you crying about a bag touching you on the arm, he got $1,400 worth of soup cans at Ben & Jerry's rolling up and down the F train. You need to step back, get some perspective, see your place in this world, and then shut up. Am I wrong? Tease me up. And I'm standing here just adrenaline like this. And on the inside, I was like, oh, I would have phrased that so differently. But on the outside, I was like, yeah, that's basically how it went down. And she goes, oh, I see. Well, I happen to have several extra bags here. Would you like them? And so empathetic and understanding in such a hateful way. And I was like, yeah, that's super. I'll take your stupid bags. And she gets them out, and we're just cramming my groceries into the bag. Making eye contact the whole time. Like this. She's like, take several extra. They're thin. I would hate for this to happen all over again later. Yeah, you know, that's a great idea, lady. I appreciate that. And we're just standing there like for several stops. Just hating each other with our breath, but on the inside. Thank you. You know. And then and she just stands up and looks at me and goes, have a blessed day, baby, and leaves. And the one person that understands me in this world I never saw again. And that's why I hate this city, but I can never leave it. Because there are so many beautiful, beautiful blessings to be found in this town if you scrape the patina of sheer rage off of everybody and just look underneath. Thank you.
Awesome. I hope you had a good laugh. If you've noticed that lately, you know, it's Friday. I got to have a laugh on Friday. But let me tell you, that's going on a lot. And you have the mask wearers. Isn't it funny how divided our country gets? You've got a whole sector of mask wearers that are looking at you like you are Satan reincarnated because you might, you know, you're killing somebody. Somebody. They don't know who, but you're going to kill somebody today because you're not wearing a mask, even though they don't do anything. And then you've got all the people, probably more like me, where I'm like, oh, idiot, why are you wearing a mask? Why are you running with a mask? Why are you driving with a mask? It's so It's so asinine. So we really are. They always find a way to divide us into two, and that's basically what's going on right now. You got the mask wearers, and then you've got everyone else, right? And everyone else is going, can't you figure this out? Can't you see what's going on? And the mask wearers are going, no, we're all going to die. No, get past that. Get past that. So I wanted to give you this clip. I thought this clip was great, and hat tip to Sterling. Thank you. This is an RN talking at a rally, and this RN, this male nurse, is going to tell you a little bit about masks. Check this out.
Mandatory masking policies are in large part a spurious attempt at best to gain PR for the state officials seeming to act as if they are doing something to protect us as individuals, while in fact may very well be putting us at higher risk for illness. Now listen to this. Anthony Fauci cautioned that people should see masks and think healthcare professionals in terms of use and necessity. The Surgeon General Jerome Adams has warned that general public should not wear masks as it can actually increase your risk of catching the disease.
That's right! You said it!
Masks? Masks are intended to be single use and disposed of afterward,
yes.
Not used all day, every
yes.
day. The masks usually become a vector for transmission as most people wear them everywhere and constantly touch the mask and then their face and then everything else around them, thus potentially cross-contaminating everything. A recent careful examination of 17 of the best peer-reviewed studies on masking does not demonstrate a conclusive relationship between the mask use and protection of influenza infection, which is the best comparison we can make to this new virus. Several studies have found significant problems with long-term mask use, including headaches, hypoxia, hypercapnia, or elevation of CO2 levels in the blood. Wearing an N95 mask for as little as 2 hours can reduce blood oxygenation by 20%, which can lead to loss of consciousness. People with COPD, asthma, heart disease, etc., may be at an increased risk due to their underlying disease process. Even simple surgical masks can significantly impair oxygen transfer and cause problems. This decrease in blood oxygenation can also trigger a cascade reaction to the immune system that suppresses your ability to fight off viral infections. Does this make any sense to you?
No!
Wearing masks outside of enclosed spaces, i.e. in nature, is ridiculous and asinine. Breathing fresh air outdoors, especially around trees and plants, actually confers immunological benefit to the body. And we are far less likely to contract the virus outdoors due to fresh air transfer and sunlight, which denatures a viral envelope. Dr. Russell Blaylock, board-certified neurosurgeon, states that research also demonstrates that masks actually become concentrators for viruses, as exhaled breath cannot expel the virus outside of the body, thus driving reabsorption of concentrated volumes of virus into the nasal passages and can lead to viral infections of the brain by allowing them to travel up the olfactory nerve and into the brain itself. While wearing a mask may confer some benefit to those at high risk, the elderly and the immune compromised, it may also be the means by which they become infected. If you choose to wear a mask, at least be aware of the risks. Government officials not trained in healthcare practice should not be telling people to wear medical devices without spelling out the risks, and masks should certainly not be mandatory.
That was a nurse. That was RN Josiah Dan. And I thought that was a great piece. Don't you just wish you could walk around with a stereo blasting this wherever you went into a store right now? So these people walking around with the ridiculous mask would understand the health consequences of doing so? Because truly, it's already been even stated by Fauci, take off the mask, stop wearing it, it's causing problems. We're such a ridiculous nation. We don't even go for the common sense. Hi, caller, welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Kate.
Hi.
May I make a public service announcement?
Okay.
This weekend, when we're remembering our war dead,
yes.
Don't live in fear. It's un-American.
Thank you. Thank you. I love your public service announcement. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. With Memorial Day coming up, I know all of us, or at least I hope all of us, see past the barbecue enough to remember all of those people that did sacrifice their lives. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Kate. Hi. You are great. Just keep going.
A little energizer bunny.
I just went to, and I can't say it enough times, to Wells Fargo.
Uh-huh.
And they will still not let you in the door.
Oh, come on. Really?
And I called the manager, and he says, well, go get in line in the drive-thru, and then we'll take care of you. Otherwise, you have to call and make an appointment.
Lovely. Lovely. Oh, why are they not pulling their heads out?
I am so mad. Ready to go live in the trees.
Right? Me too. All right. Thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. Thanks. Yeah, I know. And that's why I played the rage clip, because it's so funny anyway. But isn't that what we're up against right now? I mean, we're all feeling that way because, you know, we've been violated, and the governors have they've basically gone against their constitutional oath, and they have taken the rights of the people, the mayors too, especially here in St. George. You have mayors that have taken away this from the people. You have county commissioners guilty as well, legislators guilty. You have all these people that are guilty of taking away our rights. And I've noticed that, you know, why aren't we seeing even, come on, Mike Lee, why aren't you denouncing the new normal? Because we don't get a normal. Our state decided we're going to have a new normal with all of these different social distancing things. So we better fight against it, because I'm telling you, they're going to just, you know, ramrod right over us. And I don't see anybody standing up and saying no. I really don't. I've heard maybe two sentences. That's about it from people. I mean, why aren't they in the press every day saying how they feel about this? And it's really unfortunate that we live in a society where when push comes to shove, when things have been taken from us in such a fast rate as this, that we do not have any of those guys that wanted your vote very, very badly, right, standing up for you. Where's Congressman Stewart? Complete wuss. All these guys are complete wusses. They won't stand up for you when it really counts. This is why I can't believe we vote these people into office. I really can't. It's hard to find even somebody that will stand up. They'll just tell you what you want to hear. Anyway, all right, be right back with Alan Stevo. You'll love him. And then Alison Armstrong. What a show. And Alan will be talking about how to sue your governor. Boy, do we need this lesson. All right, be right back on the Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com.